I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse that are running on. Hey, it's Big Kev, and we're here at New York Comic Con 2013. This is day something three, I think. Day three, this is?
Day three.
Day three, and we're here. We're very happy to have with us today one of the great fantasy authors, Peter S. Beagle. Why do you know Peter S. Beagle? Because probably you've read his book, some of his books, some of his writings. But most people might know Peter S. Beagle as the creator of The Last Unicorn. That's right. Remember that cartoon film that we all watched our entire lives growing up? Peter S. Beagle responsible for that film. And we're very happy to have him with us today. How are you, sir?
Actually, I'm wide awake and... usually it takes me to the third day of a convention to be completely awake, especially when I've come from California. But I grew up in New York, so it's always lovely to be here. I usually stay on the Upper West Side with my favorite cousin. And when the weather's good, I just walk down to the Javits Center because I'm back in New York, and when you're in New York, you walk.
That's it. That's the truth. And you do a lot of walking at a convention, all of us. But, Mr. Beagle, actually, you walked to get here, which is great.
Oh, it's a delight.
Yeah.
I live in California where you don't get to do a lot of walking unless
true.
You really look for it.
I've been to California and I noticed that. Not a lot of walking going on.
Oh, there's a famous Ray Bradbury story called The Pedestrian.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which, and that goes back a long way and it's still largely true.
Sure. Let's, if we can, let's talk about The Last Unicorn. For years and years, Last Unicorn, there was a release on VHS. That's how far back that goes.
Right. I've
and
got
then
it.
For so many years, it was out of print. And so many people, there were underground copies going around. And people were sharing them and wearing them out because there was such an overage of watching the film because it hadn't been re-released and so on. I'm guessing a lot of people in that time period were trying to reach out to you going, hey, can we get this? We're looking for it. What's going on?
Well, in the same way, when I first heard of J.R.R. Tolkien, I was 15. 1954, there was a great review on the front page of the New York Times Book Review. And as a teenager, I thought that sounded really interesting. I'd love to read it, but I couldn't find it. It took me 4 years until I was in college to find The Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
And even then, it was something passed around between friends. It was like a secret code.
Right.
When I wrote a book about coming across country with my best childhood friend on a couple of motor scooters 50 years ago, when I mentioned Tolkien, the editor insisted that I describe, you know, the... rather, when I mentioned The Lord of the Rings and compared Cleveland as we were passing through it to Mordor, the editor insisted that I be specific about what Mordor was.
Right.
And later on, when I was first doing magazine writing, I did a piece on The Lord of the Rings on spec for a magazine that usually bought my stuff. And they turned it down on grounds that Tolkien was not contemporary enough. That was the phrase. Later on, that same piece became the introduction to the Tolkien reader because
wow.
the Tolkien explosion had just happened.
Right.
So it's some often a matter of timing, matter of being in the right place at the right time.
Sure.
And as the Spanish proverb says, when it's raining soup, it's no good to be out there with a fork.
That's right. Excellent, excellent. And so now, of course, the film has been re-released in different formats, Blu-ray and so on and so forth. And in addition to that, there's been a comic book made out of it.
A graphic novel, yes.
Yes, a graphic novel by IDW, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
And that has been a huge success. Tell us about those two things and how this sort of resurgence is kind of affecting you. I see you a lot more at conventions now. I see you're doing a lot of book signings and things. And remind me, I want to tell that story about your and my connection from a long time ago. But tell me how this whole re-explosion of The Last Unicorn is affecting you.
I attribute it a lot to my all-purpose hustler, chauffeur, agent, editor, and as he would say, lackey, Mr. Connor Cochran, who began dragging me to conventions 10 or 11 years ago.
Right.
And has tirelessly hustled the book in every format, in every possible way, ever since. If it hadn't been for Connor, I don't know. And if it hadn't been for being dragged out like that, I would never have known that I had a fan base. I don't know how else to put it.
Right.
I had no idea of how many people really loved the book, knew my work, and it's mushroomed from there.
Sure. It's really great that something that's so so timeless and so wonderful for people of all ages is still in this day and age, is still available for them to enjoy in any format.
You're never sure, because I still remember doing a television script years ago with a role in it for a black dancer who lived in Oakland, where I live. And she had worked with one of my heroines, Catherine Dunham. And gradually, as she aged, gone more into straight acting. But she took time out and wrote a book about Catherine Dunham and told me, and was published in a series of books about dancers. And she told me, I will never do that again. I don't know how you guys do it. You write a book, you don't know if you got it right or not. When I'm dancing, I know, or acting, I know if I'm doing it right, because the audience will tell me, my body will tell me.
Right.
But you guys, you don't know if you got the book right. You don't know if anybody's going to read it. You can't be sure it'll even get published. It goes out there. Maybe you hear from one or two people. Maybe you never hear back. You have no feedback. You have no idea if you achieved what you meant to achieve. She said, I'll never do that again. Never. And I understood what she was talking about.
Sure. And the last thing I want to close with is a story which I've told you on a number of occasions, but I want to put it out on the air because it really was a wonderful gesture. Sometime in the 90s, way back then, I was madly in love with a young lady whose favorite book from her childhood was The Last Unicorn. She loved the film. She loved the book. Such a fan. And I managed to find a first edition of The Last Unicorn, and I managed to find your address, because in the 90s it wasn't stalking yet. It was just finding a guy who wrote a book.
Right.
And I sent you the book, and I sent you a letter, and I told you my whole story about how I felt about this young lady and how this was such a special gift for her and so on. You wrote a wonderful bit in the book, signed it, and you also wrote me a nice letter back. I wish I had it now so that I can read it. It was very touching to me, and it was very touching to the young lady. And I'm very, very happy and grateful that you are the kind of person who is able to do that for other people. So I wanted to, this is my chance to publicly thank you in front of all my listeners for being that kind of person.
You're very welcome, and I'm certainly honored. And the best thing I know to say to that is, in most situations, I try to do what I think my father would have done, because he was that kind of person.
Right.
And if it doesn't quite suit the situation, I try to decide what my oldest daughter would do. But one way or another, I'll get it right, or I'll try.
It's great that you have both of those generations to lean on. But I have to say, as we close, Peter S. Beagle is here at the convention. He's in Artist Alley. Do you know your booth number?
B14.
B14. You can come. You can meet Mr. Beagle. You can talk to him. I've had a great time talking with him today. He's got plenty of copies of all of his books. He's got the comic book. He's got the film version. Anything you need from Mr. Peter S. Beagle, you can get it at the book. He'll sign it for you. He's a great, wonderful man, and we're so happy that he was able to join us on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Thank you so much, Mr. Beagle.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here, and I'll be right back at my booth as soon as I go pee. Thank you.
We're done, Sam.